You're listening to the Quince Podcast.
The Adelaide Test is over. India were restricted to the lowest ever total in Test cricket, 36, and Australia have won the series opener by 8 wickets. My guest Ayaz Memon is with us. Ayaz, yesterday we said it was India's game to lose, and now we have what can only be called a disaster. First thoughts on the day we had?
Well, it's been the most stunning collapse I've seen, batting collapse by India, or in fact by any team, to be bowled out for 36. On a pitch, yes, which had some life, and the Australian bowlers bowled marvellously. But even so, to believe that a fairly strong batting lineup would crumble for just 36 was unimaginable. I don't think anybody would have thought that this would be the consequence of batting on a pitch which had something for the fast bowlers. But India had the advantage of batting first. Got a 53-run lead. They should have been all pumped up to try and win the test match. But that didn't happen. And, it's difficult to pinpoint what went wrong. But maybe it's a collective loss of nerve. But whatever it is, it's one of the darkest chapters in India's test cricket history.
I'm Menra Dorji.
And I'm Ayaz Memon.
And you're listening to the Aussie Challenge podcast on The Quint, powered by Farm Easy and Medibuddy. India started the day on 9 for 1, leading Australia by 62 runs, and Mayank and Bumrah were at the crease. Bumrah fell in the second over of the day. Pujara fell 4 overs later, also to Cummins, and then started India's massive collapse. Josh Hazlewood with the ball first got Mayank and Rahane out in the 13th over, then Virat fell to Cummins in the 14th. India's best partnership of the day followed a 7-run stand between Saha and Vihari before Saha fell on 4 to Hazlewood, who then packed off Ashwin and Vihari to complete his 5-for. 5 for 8 were his figures. Mayank's 9 was the top score among the Indian batters. Australia chased down the target pretty much with ease and are now 1-up in the 4-match test series. Ayaz, what do you put this down to? Were Aussie bowlers just too good, or was it just a terrible day for Indian batters?
Well, the bowling was actually superb. I think the Australians came back strongly, having reduced the lead to 53. At one time, it seemed that India might get a 100-run lead. That was yesterday. But what happened today was some immaculate, impeccable bowling by Pat Cummins, who picked up the wickets of Pujara and Virat Kohli, the mainstays of the Indian batting. And then, of course, Josh Hazlewood, bowling virtually unplayable. The deliveries that he bowled, especially the length that he struck and the deviation he got off the pitch. So it was not easy, but yet to be bowled out for 36, this is not club cricket. We're talking of test cricket, and you expect batsmen to be prepared for this kind of a hardship. Not one single Indian batsman got into double figures, and that tells the story in itself. It's a very difficult to digest statistic. And India, 36 all out. Their lowest ever score, in 1974, India made 42 at Lord's against England. This is even lower than that. And it tells you how disastrous was the batting performance. Yes, the Aussies bowled well. The catch which Cameron Green took to dismiss Virat Kohli was spectacular. But all said and done, it was, I think, it's just one of those inexplicable. I have no, there's no logical reasoning why it should have happened, but yet, how can you deny that it's happened? And what's happened is something that will kind of hang like a millstone around the necks of all these players who played in this test match.
Yeah, like you said, it was a day where none of the Indian batters even got to score in double digits. Extremely disappointed. I can hear the disappointment in your voice. But can this be put down to, a one-off, especially after the first innings that they did have? Or is there more like a larger, a longer conversation to have?
I think both are true. I think that this is a one-off in the sense that, you can't expect any team, leave aside an Indian team, to keep getting bowled out for 36, 40, 80, these kind of scores anywhere that they play. And yet, there are, ramifications and implications of such a poor batting performance which have to be looked into initially or immediately by a tour think tank. Remember, Virat Kohli is going to come back. So, he was the highest scorer in the match. 74 in the first innings, which was the highest innings by any batsman on either side. And, you know, the bowlers bowled splendidly. I mean, you can't defend 80 or 90 in the second innings, but they bowled splendidly in the first innings to get a vital lead, 53 runs lead. And yet, you know, the batsmen too kind of get choked, and it almost seemed as if every batsman who walked out to watch today, to bat today, had, you know, death and doom written on his back. You know, the feeling was so funereal. It just seemed that they look consigned to their fate. And that's not something that augurs well for a team which has still to play three test matches in this series. That's the worrying part. And how the think tank or the team management, which is Shastri, Virat Kohli and some of the others, are going to address this is going to be a serious challenge. Also, remember, Mohammad Shami has been hit. He didn't bowl at all. In fact, he retired. So technically, you can say India lost 9 wickets, not 10. But if you lose a bowler like Shami, he didn't get a wicket in the first innings, but he was, for many people, the pick of the bowler. So that's going to be another issue heading into the second test. Is Shami fit or not?
Okay, a word on Josh Hazlewood, a fifer there. Almost got a hat-trick. Was on a hat-trick ball, actually. You know, we talk about Cummins, we talk about Stark, but a great performance from him today.
Yes, I think he felt left out, not picking up too many wickets in the first innings when Cummins and Stark got 4 and Cummins got 3, and then you know, he came and he just showed how good he is, and especially on Australian pitches. All these bowlers, in fact. But I must say that the spell which destroyed India was actually Pat Cummins' spell in the morning. Yes, he got Bumrah, which is a fairly, you know, unsung batsman to get. But to get Pujara and then Virat, I think. And then, of course, remember, he had also got Prithvi Shaw. So he cleaned up the top 3 or 4 in the batting order, and that really didn't allow the Indian innings to settle at all. I'm not saying that Josh Hazlewood didn't bowl as well as Cummins, he did. But it was a little easier in that sense for Hazlewood or anybody else after the top 4 had gone, because by then, the tension in the Indian dressing room, you could sense it even if you are thousands of miles away.
Okay, the one positive for the Indians today, of course, will be R. Ashwin. Actually, not just today, but through the match. You know, did well in the first innings, bowled well in the second as well. We did talk yesterday about how, you know, he would have been, there would have been some selection conversations around him if Jadeja had been available. But great to see him do so well for India.
Certainly, Ashwin's coming good is a good sign. I mean, that's one of the positives, as you mentioned. But overall, the Indian attack was quite brilliant, I thought. You know, even to keep Australia to under 200 was an achievement. It's just the batting which let down the team in the second innings most horribly. But Ashwin's form, look, I think there's been so much talk about Ashwin being one kind of a bowler playing at home and a completely different kind of a bowler when he's playing overseas. And I think he obviously is, you know, focused on narrowing that gap in terms of, you know, what his class tells you, what his stats tell you, and what performances overseas tell you. So I think he had a very good test match, so did I think Bumrah and Umesh and Shami. But of course, Ashwin might also, you know, wonder whether he could have got a few more runs just to help India's cause. Not that anybody else did any better, but, you know, Ashwin may have, you know, he got out first ball. He's capable of hanging in there, sticking around, getting some runs. It didn't happen today.
Okay, now, of course, the next test is a few days away. Virat Kohli does go back to India. Rohit Sharma still not available for the next test. So I asked, what all, of course, India has a lot of different selection decisions to make. They most probably actually will change their openers. I asked, what else do you see changing?
I think India have got serious issues now of team composition because, A, not have we only lost the test match, but it's a completely demoralized side, which must be right now, you know, in the dressing room, in Adelaide, looking, you know, the future looking extremely bleak. So you've got a problem with the opening slot. One thought it was only Prithvi Shaw, but it's also now Mayank not getting going at all in either innings. Some runs for Pujara and for Rahane, but not looking, you know, very convincing, both of them. And then, of course, Hanuma Vihari, you know, coming in at number 6 with the idea also that he can bowl a bit but not making runs, neither Saha. So there are many issues that have cropped up. And as I mentioned earlier, Shami, whether he'll be fit to bowl or play in the second test or not. So these are, you know, there's a lot of turmoil I can imagine and understand in the Indian dressing room right now.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us, Ayaz. We will be back after the first day of the second test and tell you what all changes India do go with. And thank you all for listening to the Aussie Challenge podcast with Ayaz Memon on the Quint, powered by Farm Easy, India's largest online pharmacy, and Medibuddy.
Thanks for listening. Log on to the Quint's website and check out our other podcasts.